Listener supported AMA 50 KFUO worldwide at KFUO.org. Time for Law and Gospel. I'm Gary Duncan, Director of Operations for KFUO. I want to make an announcement today that because of tower updates tomorrow at the tower site, we're doing some updates as we continue this progress of making KFUO a better station for you. We will be off the air the majority of the day tomorrow on the AM. We'll still be on the internet. You can still listen on your smartphones. You can listen on your Wi-Fi radios and the other internet technologies. But for the majority of the day here in St. Louis, tomorrow we'll be off the air because of technical upgrades at our tower. Now, Tom, it's yours. Thanks for that.
Okay, and thank you very much. And, boy, we got great voices today. You just heard Gary about not being on the air live, and then we're going to turn right around if Joni doesn't make so much noise with her microphone. Watch Mary how to do this, will you, please? You know, I mean, when you don't have these professionals in here, you just have to, you know. But Joni and Mary are back. Because you people keep giving, and we want to give to you great thanks. So take it away.
Yes, Tom, as you said, we are very grateful for our listeners and for our support, especially as they have given to us through our 90th anniversary celebration. Today, we'd like to thank Judith from Nashville, Illinois, Darlene and Joseph from Lake Zurich, Illinois, Colleen and Stephen from Labadie, Missouri, Darlene and Kenneth from Millstadt, Illinois, Elmer from Franklin Park, Illinois, Jean and Irma from St. Louis in honor of Irma Miller, Loretta and Albert of Defiance, Missouri, Marie from St. Louis, George from St. Anne, Kathy and Guy from Evansville, Illinois, Ruth and Kenneth from Redbud, Illinois, Dolores from St. Charles, Kenneth from Reston, Virginia, Victor from East Northport, New York. Wonder if he's going to get that snowstorm. He's going to appreciate hearing KFUO if he's involved in that big snowstorm going up there. We also have Nadine and Roger from Chapin, Illinois, Mary from Oviedo, Florida, in memory of Huldah Hesse, Carol from Washington, Missouri, and Sheila from Chesterfield, Missouri, who gave in honor of Wilma Grothman and Dorothy Jarvis. And she says that Dorothy Jarvis, my aunt, was born December 1924, just like KFUO. What a wonderful way to honor someone, to give a gift in memory of her aunt who was born on that same day that the same year that KFUO began. And that is what we have encouraged our listeners to do. If you yourself have been blessed by KFUO, if you're a family member, grandma, grandpa, mother, father, aunt, uncle, your children have been blessed by KFUO, give a gift in memory of them in thanksgiving to God for the gospel message that has been proclaimed here for 90 years. And by God's grace, will continue to be proclaimed as you support KFUO. Mary?
Mm-hmm. We'd also like to thank Kenneth of St. Louis, Luis of St. Louis, Carol of Kingston, Ontario in Canada, Dorothea of Cincinnati, Ohio, Ruth and Walter of Brookfield, Illinois, Marlene of St. Louis, Shirley and Richard of Girard, Illinois, Elaine and Conrad of Arnold, Missouri, Vern of Weldon Springs, Missouri, in loving memory of Judy Pegel, Darlene and Eugene of Morris, Minnesota, Gary and Alice of St. Louis, Wilma of Stewardson, Illinois, who gave in loving memory of Everett and Elizabeth Noe, Phoebe and Vern of St. Charles, Peter and Mary of Manchester, Missouri, Gerald and Sherman of St. Louis, Anthony of Kirkwood, who gave in loving memory of Harlan and Shirley Petzold, and Dolores of Perryville, Missouri, who gave in loving memory of her husband, the love of her life.
So again, thank you for all of the gifts. The reason we want to be on the air and thank people is we are grateful for those gifts. You, the listener, are the people who help us keep KFUO on the air. You support us through this ministry, and through your support, we're able to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ around the world. So it's not KFUO doing it. It's we're partnering with you together to share this good news.
What an irony today that because of these gifts, we're off the air tomorrow.
Yes, that's kind of funny, but we won't be off the air via the internet. If you have a computer, you can still hear, but it is because we are updating some of our equipment, and because of that, we will be able to continue on.
Well, we certainly thank you again, and are you going to come in tomorrow when we're...
We will come in again tomorrow, and if you would like to send a gift, you can call Mary Schmidt or myself, Joni Harwell. You can call me at 996-1512 or Mary Schmidt
at 314-996-1518.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for coming in, and try not to make too much noise on your way out. And I tell you, sometimes.
Come on, Tom.
That was me hitting the mic. It wasn't them. And we're going to talk about how Jesus had authority. What does that mean? Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, January the 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2015. And before we begin, I do want to indicate that tomorrow we're going to be giving an announcement. In fact, I'm going to give it today, since we might not be live on the air tomorrow. And what the announcement is that I'm doing a seminar here in St. Louis, Missouri at Emmanuel Olivet on Saturday, February the 21st from 1 o'clock in the afternoon till 4:30. Then at 5 o'clock, we have a worship service where I will be preaching using some of the items from the Law and Gospel Seminar in the sermon, trying to show how when you have a proper understanding of Law and Gospel, it really makes a difference in not only understanding the text, but also in applying the text to your life. We do want to indicate to you that you can sign up. There's a $20 registration fee, and here's how you get to it. Lawandgospel101.com. Now, that's our main website, and you'll see when you go to that, the word seminars near the top. You can click on that, or you can go to lawandgospel101.com/seminars. So either way, you'll get to it, and it will be ready to be signed up by around 2 o'clock this afternoon on this Monday. It's not quite done. We worked on it last evening, but we're having one little problem, and we should get that fixed. So by 2 o'clock this afternoon, you should be able to go to lawandgospel101.com/seminars. And we're intending to do a number of seminars. We have one in Rolla, in fact, if you're in the Rolla area, on the second Saturday of February. And then the third Saturday, we're doing a seminar at Emmanuel Olivet. I'll give more information on those on Wednesday as we go through it. This coming Sunday is the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, and the readings are from Deuteronomy, 1 Corinthians, and also from Mark. Now, we heard some very interesting news on the Bible study last Friday. Pastor Ron Zwanisser was talking to Pastor Femmel, who was telling us about the discovery of a new manuscript with the Gospel according to St. Mark. In fact, it's 10 years closer to the time of the original than were the ones that we already have. At least that was what was said. Reverend Dr. James Veltz is an expert in this area of Mark. And in fact, he wrote a commentary, 8 chapters, and the next 8 chapters are going to be concluded, hopefully, in the near future. So 2 books. It's just an excellent commentary. Every time I read it, I've got 2 or 3 sermons. And he just so happened to be the Bible class teacher my wife listened to at St. Paul de Pere this last weekend, and spent most of the time talking about this discovery, and he was really excited. How did they discover it? This is so amazing. Is when someone died and they would make them into a mummy or try to preserve them, they would wrap them in papyri, paper. Well, it wasn't really paper, but that which would be wrapped around the face. And what they found a mummy, I guess in Egypt, pretty well preserved, and had this papyri around the face. And when they unscrolled it, guess what? It was part of the gospel according to St. Mark. Now, we don't have any details as to how many verses or this sort of thing, but in the scholarly world, this is a huge find. Why is it a huge find? Because there's certain questions, like the ending of Mark. Was that found in it, or was it not found in it? There are some verses there that a lot of scholars don't believe were part of the gospel according to St. Mark. One reason is not all the manuscripts have it. So there's just a lot of great questions. The question I'm going to ask Jim Veltz is, now that they found it and after he examines it, will he change anything he's already written? Or will he be making some changes in the second volume of Mark? That's going to be real interesting. You're going to find that out. Well, Mark 1, verses 21 to 28 is a gospel reading where Jesus goes into Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is not a Jewish town. It's a Gentile town. And immediately on the Sabbath, now that's, of course, Saturday, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. Now, verse 22 says something quite interesting. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority. What does that mean? What does it mean? Now, how do we figure out what anything means in the Bible? Scripture interprets Scripture. So, we look at the immediate context. What does this authority mean? Does it mean he spoke loudly? Does it mean like when he called the disciples? Remember, he called the disciples who were fishermen. And boy, immediately they left their nets and followed him, it says. Was that because he was so persuasive? Maybe he had a deep voice or something like that? You know, we often talk about people who have authority, but Jesus didn't have the authority such as, for example, a governor or the president of the United States has. Because of his office, he has, or they have authority. They can call up the National Guard. They can call up the armed forces. So there's no doubt that person has authority. But Jesus wasn't doing any of that. So it wasn't necessarily because of his office. In fact, most people didn't realize that he had the office of the Messiah. It wasn't because he had a booming voice. Obviously, he had quite a voice because he would be in the boat on the seashore teaching, what, 5,000 people, 4,000 people. So what does it mean he had authority? So we look at the context to figure it out. Lutheranism is very unique in this way, in that it looks at the surrounding Bible verses, sometimes the whole book, sometimes the whole Bible, to arrive at it. What do you mean the whole Bible? Well, for example, in Genesis, it talks about a serpent that deceived Eve. Who was that serpent? Guess what? He's not identified in Genesis or Exodus or Leviticus. In fact, he's not identified in any of the Old Testament books. It's not till you get to the book of Revelation that he's referred to as that serpent of old, the devil himself. And so we know that that serpent was really the devil having taken on a serpentine form. Very interesting. So you need Revelation to figure out what was happening in the Garden of Eden. Now, one probably could probably well guess, and most of the scribes probably believed it was Satan, but he's not specifically mentioned. Like, he could have been one of the angels of Satan. We know there's at least two are named, Michael and Gabriel, the angels of God, but who are the other names? I'm not even sure we even have names of any of Satan's cohorts. We know he's referred to as Beelzebub or Satan or the tempter or the liar. So he's got those names, the devil. Getting back to our text, what does it mean that Jesus had authority? Well, we look at verse 22. I didn't read the whole verse. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Now, there's two problems with English translations. The first one, and I've talked a lot about this, is a lot of times we don't have a valid English word to properly translate all the nuances of a Hebrew or Greek word. We just don't have them. Then sometimes the grammar is kind of messed up in the translations. In other words, sometimes you'll find translators who misread the grammatical nuances and therefore come up with a translation that is not appropriate. It's really complicated. I'm not a scholar in the area of exegesis, where those who really know their business look at the grammar, look at the words, and can come up with conclusions. I'm a systematician, which means I wait till the exegete does his work, and then I use what he has found and try to apply it in a systematic way. So it says that he had authority not as the scribes. Now, that's the second problem with the English translations, is you don't know the cultural background. You see, the folks in Jesus' day would easily understand a difference in the authority of Jesus and the authority of the scribes. What does it mean that the scribes' authority was different than that of Jesus? Well, what the scribes did is not so much teach, say, the Old Testament. In fact, you can go to a Jewish synagogue today, and you'll hear much of the teaching based on what other scribes have said. There's a technical term about passing down the tradition. And what they mean by that is what is taught in the tradition of the scribes. So they would be quoting other scribes, and Jesus was not speaking in that way. He wasn't quoting other scribes. He was saying something quite different. About the closest we get to that is in the Roman Catholic Church, for example, where you have a tradition of praying to Mary, the idea that she's sinless from her conception, purgatory, and I could go on at length. As we saw, not long after the church began a veering away from the biblical clear record to traditions of men. And sometimes the popes would okay them. For example, when I was very young, I remember in 1950 that the pope declared what's called the Assumption of the Virgin Mary. What does that mean? That she assumed bodily into heaven. So you can't find her body in the grave anymore. Now that's really kind of interesting, you know, for people who think the resurrection is so important as a historical fact. Well, where's Mary's body? So it's kind of interesting. This is called a tradition, and it's not part of the Bible. And Jews were very famous at doing that. Remember, they had a whole tradition of how to do the ceremonial laws in such a way that you could save yourself. Thank God I'm not like that guy over there, because I do this, I tithe, I fast, and I'm sure he could have continued with a whole bunch of ceremonial laws as a way of being saved. So that's the first thing we figure out, that the scribes' authority was based on the writings of those or the sayings of those who had gone before them. In fact, when a rabbi had disciples, it was very interesting that the way he got disciples, men would decide to follow the rabbi because they liked what he was saying. Jesus is just the opposite. He chooses his disciples and says, "Follow me." I'm quite sure that when they were in the boat fishing, they had no intention of following Jesus when they saw him. But see, this is once more showing that this man has authority. But there's another verse here that really helps us even better understand. What does it mean that he preached with authority? We already know it wasn't like the scribes who were basically repeating what other scribes had said. It's verse 27. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. And he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Now it's interesting to note that in this passage, he does heal a man from an unclean spirit. But on the part of the people, when they said this is one who had authority, this is before that healing. And so this is very interesting that it was just his teaching. But there's that word new, a new teaching with authority. I'll tell you how different this would be. We have a lot of Lutherans, like Martin Luther, who wrote a lot. And every now and then we will quote him. But we don't go to the point where we say, well, if Martin Luther wrote this, that's all I have to say is what he wrote. And he therefore would become our scribe that we follow. A lot of people have a misunderstanding of how we regard Martin Luther. We regard what he says as wonderful when he's in agreement with the Bible. But when he's in disagreement with the Bible, we just ignore him. Like, for example, in the 95 Theses that started the Reformation on the part of a lot of people in 1517, he still condoned purgatory. He just didn't like the excesses that he thought, like coin into the coffer rings a soul from purgatory springs. That's what he was really concerned about. So therefore, we disagree with Luther in that document that purgatory is a valid place where people go to suffer until they get cleaned up, so to speak, good enough to get to heaven. We disagree with Luther on that at that point. Now, later on, he changed his mind, of course, but I'm sure there's things in his later life that he might not have had the best manuscripts and therefore made some conclusions about a text that we would change today because of better manuscripts that we have and so forth. Okay. A new teaching with authority. Let's understand the teaching of the scribes in Jesus' day. It was a religion called Judaism. This was different than the Old Testament faith, because what Judaism taught, as I just mentioned with that parable of the Pharisee and the publican, is that by your obedience to the ceremonial laws, you can get right with God. It really was a work righteousness religion. I can prove it. When Jesus said, I've come to forgive your sins, these unbelieving leaders of the religion did not believe that they had sins sufficient that they needed to be forgiven. No. We've never murdered anybody. Oh, you haven't? How about an unjust thought, an unjust word? And he would kind of go down the list, so to speak. What he was talking about was new authority is that, first of all are sinners. That's why the message of Jesus was repent and believe in the gospel. Why repent? Because repentance was an act that the law helped us to understand that we were in need of a Savior, that we are poor, miserable sinners, that we don't deserve blessings. Instead, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. That's the message of Jesus. But his new message, which they had never heard, was the gospel, that sins are forgiven to sinners. Yeah. Sinners, therefore, were no longer lost. That while you're still a sinner, your sin is forgiven. Now, some people would say, well, that's terrible to say. You mean you don't have to change? And the answer is, no, you don't. It's like your children. How many times as they were growing up, were they disobedient? Did you stop loving them? Did you stop caring for them? No. And when you did forgive them and they were sorry, wasn't long after, then they were disobedient again in another area. The relationship loving parents have with those children is somewhat similar to the relationship that God has with you, his child. Jesus was teaching with authority.
that God was not a God of justice giving you what you deserve, but a God of mercy not giving you what you deserve, and a God of grace giving you what you don't deserve. That's the authority that Jesus had. And you know, I ask, is it still going on today? Not very often. Just turn on other radio stations that are religious and listen to the legalism, listen to the work righteousness, listen to the pride that comes about, because I must be doing something right because I got a nice car, I got health, I got wonderful children. You know, this prosperity gospel is not scripture. That's old teaching. So, what we wanted to look at, and why we really encourage you to read the Bible and keep listening to KFUO, is because this is a station that has authority, because we keep quoting Jesus from the Bible in all that we teach. Oh, yes, we may use other scholars, but it finally comes down to Jesus is the only one with authority. And we'll find that out tomorrow, even though we're not live. You can still stream us with Mark Smith on a hymn. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.